dress code to that.
Gray and blue, yeah. Well, thank you guys for all being here. In the aftermath of the terrible tragedy at Parkland 3 weeks ago today, actually close to around this time, one of the things I did, and we both did, in the aftermath is learn as much as we could about how this happened. And we've discussed earlier in the week, we're both sponsors of the Stop School Violence Act that Senator Hatch has offered, which has already gotten a broad number of co-sponsors, including, I believe, the leaders of both the Republicans and Democrats in the United States Senate. And I personally have been searching for things that we can do quickly, that we can begin to move on and find consensus. There's a lot of issues on this topic that, as you know, create some division. There needs to be a debate on those issues, and I believe that debate will happen. But what can we do quickly? What can we agree on to get action on? I think the families gave us a great example this week. They all met on Sunday. They have some different opinions on some issues, but they found common ground on the things they agreed on. And because of that, I believe the Florida legislature today will approve and send to the governor a bill that makes Florida a safer place than it was 3 weeks ago. And in the process of learning about this tragedy in Parkland, one of the things that I learned, that we learned, is that there is really not many tools available to law enforcement or to families when they realize that someone in their home or someone in the community is either a danger to themselves or a danger to others. And had that tool existed, it is possible that a family member or a member of law enforcement could have gone to a court and gotten a court order by showing probable cause for a temporary one and then clear and convincing evidence for a permanent one that this individual was dangerous, that this individual was going to hurt someone, and as a result, not only should they not be allowed to buy guns, but the guns they have and the ammunition should be taken away. And so today we're here to announce our intention to file legislation to encourage states to do what Florida hopefully will do today, and that's enact their own gun violence protection orders. And it would incentivize this through the granting of COP grants over the next 5 years. And this grant program under the Department of Justice would provide funding assistance to states to implement their own qualifying gun violence protection orders. In order to be eligible, these are the steps that a state must enact in their legislation. It must allow family members or law enforcement officers to petition a court for a gun violence prevention order. This, of course, would prevent firearm purchases and possession by individuals who pose a significant threat of personal injury. States must require due process protections before a gun violence protection order can be issued, including proper notice and formal hearing where the individual has an opportunity to be heard. They must provide a court officer the authority to issue an emergency gun violence protection order of up to 14 days in limited circumstances. States must establish a minimum penalty for filing false allegations. It would require proper notification to the Department of Justice and other relevant law enforcement agencies when one of these is issued. This legislation would also prohibit, would need to prohibit the sale of firearms to an individual subject to a state gun violence protection order. And it would accomplish this by making it unlawful to sell any firearm or ammunition to an individual who is subject to a gun violence restraining order. And we believe that by incentivizing the states to do this, we are creating the possibility not just for six states to have it after today, but hopefully every state has a mechanism available to law enforcement and or to families to prevent dangerous individuals from being able to take the next step and actually take the lives of innocent people.
Well, you know, my position in sponsoring legislation such as this is it's a step in the right direction. Ultimately, I think that the solution to the problem is universal background checks and the removal of assault weapons off of our streets. But this is a good step in the right direction, and we've got to be practical. As Senator Rubio has said, given the environment around here and the sway of the NRA, there are certain things that are just simply not going to be passed. That certainly doesn't mean that people like me will not continue to do that. But let's get what we can, and this is certainly a very, very important step, because if you can get a restraining order, And you take the case of the killer in Parkland. Had there been the ability of the police or others to go into court and get a restraining order? And one of the things we need to work out in the future is then the removal of the guns once you get a restraining order. But those are things to be worked out. As you know, Senator Rubio and I worked together on a number of things. And I am very grateful that he is willing to take this step, which I think in light of, you know, what had happened at the CNN town hall was very courageous on his part to go. Others did not go after being invited. And this is what we're going to start working through on this process. At the end of the day, if you can get these kind of things, you can start getting around the edges on the problem, and maybe, just maybe. So if the killer had not been there, I and Senator Rubio would not have to be talking to these parents that are grieving so badly, and of which one is here today, Fred Hochberg. And he's grieving, but I can tell you he's determined. He's determined. He's not going to let this die. Thanks.
Senator Rubio, do you believe that this would have prevented Parkland?
Well, somebody would have had to use it ultimately, and that's the part that we can't say with all certainty. Someone would have had to go to court and get this. But it certainly would have provided an option to whoever it is that called the FBI hotline or the Broward Sheriff's Office to not just report it, but actually potentially act. So it would be a tool. Ultimately, laws are only as good as the ability or the willingness to enforce them, but this certainly would have provided an option that today does not exist. If today you believe someone is going to do something like this, you can report it, but there's very little you can do to remove guns from someone until that person's adjudicated, gone to jail, or something like that.
Is this in any way similar to what the president said just last week? First take their guns away, then go to court?
Well, this has due process. I mean, you go to court, you'd have to get a determination from a judge at the front end that there's probable cause for the temporary portion of it, and then within at least no longer than 14 days, the judge would have to determine through clear and convincing evidence for a permanent one that this person is a real danger. There would be due process, as there should be on constitutional right. But you can imagine how it would have played out in this case, where they would have gone in and said, look at these Instagram posts, look at these messages, look at these text messages this person is showing. I think a judge would have found probable cause to remove the guns from this killer.
So my answer to your question is, the president's suggestion was exactly the opposite of this. The president's suggestion was there was no due process. Here, there is.
Are you getting any assurances that a debate will start anytime soon, or are you starting to get concerned that this opportunity is going to slip?
Well, one of the things I've done is I've tried to kind of create two tiers here. One is the things that I think there's common ground on. And you're seeing what those are, whether it's the try and lie bill to fix the background check system, the fix NICS system, hopefully gun violence protection order incentives for states, the stop school violence. These are things that have broad support, and the House is going to take up the stop school violence bill next week and pass it. The second are the things that are a little bit more difficult to do, but that I believe we should have a debate on, whether it's the age or, you know, some of the other issues that we've discussed, and Senator Nelson's mentioned some of the ones that he supports. Those issues have been around before. But I don't think that we should keep that from getting us to do the things at the front end that we agree on. And I actually think if you can begin to do the things that you agree on, it creates a level of momentum that allows you to keep going and doing more. These are not small things. They're meaningful. They don't go as far as some people want. But I think they are steps in the right direction. And we are in the job of passing laws. And that means 60 votes in the Senate and a majority in the House and a president that will sign it, ultimately that can withstand constitutional review in a court of law. And our job is to make things better, whether it's across multiple steps or in one big sweeping piece of legislation. These are things that I personally believe we can get passed. And that's what we're trying to do, is put these out there, show leadership that these have broad support. Let's start acting, And, but not with the argument that that's it, we're done once we're done with this. I believe the country wants to have a broader debate. We can and should. But that shouldn't stop us from doing what we agree on.
Senator Rubio, what you're proposing today is controversial because even though you say there's a judicial oversight of it, people argue that it is taking away people's guns, even temporarily, without a chance to respond. And my question is there enough support for something like this among your colleagues, among the Republican caucus? And have you asked the NRA about this?
I haven't talked to the NRA about it, but I can tell you that every constitutional right we have could potentially, through a court order, be infringed upon. They can go into your property with a subpoena or with a search warrant. They can get your records through a subpoena. So that's why the due process at the front end is important. There has to be a standard that has to be met, and this clearly creates the ability for states or incentivizes states to do so, because in the end, public exigent circumstances and public safety is one of the places in which we've made exceptions through due process taking on a constitutional right of people. That's why we have subpoenas for documents. That's why we have the ability to conduct search warrants. So I don't think the standard for this is any less than it would be for any of those other rights. And in fact, when you look at the permanent order, it requires clear and convincing evidence, and the burden is on those who are applying, not on the respondent. The respondent, the person who's the subject of this, does not have to prove anything. It's the other side that has to.
Will your colleagues support this?
Well, like I said, I think there are a number of my colleagues that have expressed openness to it. I will let them speak for themselves. We've been in consultation with Senator Grassley's office on the text, and hopefully we'll get him on board. I know Senator Feinstein's going to have an opportunity to weigh in and look at it as well on the other side. So we've worked with the Judiciary Committee to try to find language, and you're right, ultimately, we need to have 60 votes or more to get this passed. So we'll have to accommodate it, but understanding that all we are doing is creating an incentive for states to act in this regard.
This bill, I want to answer the gentleman's question. I apply the common sense test to these questions. Is it common sense that this shooter should have had an AR-15? And obviously, the answer is no. So if you can take him out with a restraining order, then that's a step in the right direction.
But by the way, one more point I want to raise that was a requirement in order to qualify for the grant. The states would have to create a minimum penalty for false allegations. So if someone's going around using these to punish someone or torture someone because that person, they're unhappy with them and they want to make their life miserable, one of the things the states have to have in order to qualify for these grants is a minimum penalty in order to punish people and discourage them from going after people in courts and doing this sort of thing.
Senators, this bill sounds to me sort of like Fix Nix. It's all carrot, right? I mean, it's incentives for states. Do you think in this Congress, is there any stick that can get through? Is there any more muscular bill that can get through? I mean, you're talking about that as sort of a secondary phase, but if the bills that may have a chance are just incentives, what's the other half of that?
The answer is no.
Well, and I would only say that I believe in the next 24 hours or so, there'll be a bill filed to create a federal gun violence restraining order, and we want to see how that's crafted. I will tell you I'm not sure that that's something that can, it might, but I'm not sure it's something they can get to 60 votes, because a lot of people are concerned about whether or not a federal court is the appropriate forum, but I know Senator Blumenthal and Graham are working hard to kind of confront some of those issues. The other thing is, some of the legislation we're dealing with involves schools and school safety, and schools are the purview of state governments and local boards. I do think, on some of the issues regarding state reporting, like you said, Fix Nix, we can incentivize states to fully report. We can threaten them by cutting off money, but you can't compel them by law in some cases to do these sorts of things, and that's an issue. And I will say lie and try, which is something we have signed on to, it was announced a couple of days ago, that is a mandate. That requires the federal government to report to local law enforcement when someone who is not eligible to buy a gun has tried to buy one and has failed a background check, so that local law enforcement can figure out what these people are doing.
I will add to the no, not now. That may change in the future.
why can the Republican-controlled Florida state legislature pass, or what we will likely see, a bill to brick Scott's desk later today that includes what you supported, Senator Rubio, and I know you do as well, raising the minimum age to purchase a firearm? Why can't Congress have that discussion now, given that it's taken the Florida legislature less than a month to have it?
Well, if you watch C-SPAN, you'll know. I mean, it's just the nature of the place, number one. We don't move as fast as Florida legislatures do. This Congress with 500-something members represents a vast and diverse country. And as a result, you know, there are people in different parts of the country that have different views on these issues, some very strong in one direction, some very strong in the other. That actually plays out within our own conferences oftentimes. So everyone in the Florida legislature represents Florida, or a part of Florida. There's only two of us that represent Florida in the U.S. Senate, and in the House, you know, obviously the numbers are a little different. So that's one. And then the other, our process is just different. I mean, the Senate process, as you know, because of our rules, everything takes longer. You'll see the House move on Stop School Violence Act, which has a lot of the same components to the federal equivalent of what the states are doing, but not all parts of it. But the federal process was designed differently. I mean, that's the best answer I can give you. It just moves a lot slower than a 60-day session in the Florida legislature. We both served there. We can tell you it moves a lot quicker than what we do here for a lot of different reasons, but their system is different.
And I would add that it is already in Florida law that you can't buy a handgun until age 21. So, obviously, come back to my common sense test. If you can't buy a handgun, you shouldn't be able to buy a high-powered assault rifle. And so the moving to 21 in Florida politically is an easier step.
Senator Rubio, you both mentioned raising the age. Do both of you support efforts? Feinstein and Flake have a bill to raise the age to 21 on a federal level? And if not, do you plan to introduce legislation that would achieve the same result? And given that President Trump has expressed his position on that issue specifically has been a little uncertain, I'm wondering if you can weigh in general on the role that he has played in this process and what you would like to see from him in terms of leadership from the executive branch in achieving some of these policies.
Again, applying the common sense test, I don't want you to get hung up on 21. 21 is not going to solve the problem. It would have in the case of this killer. But look at the other killers. They were over 21. So you can put a lot of focus on the age 21, which I would certainly agree with. If I'm not already a co-sponsor, I'd certainly vote for something like that. But don't miss the picture of the forest by looking at an individual tree.
And I would just add a couple things to that. The first is I'd have to see the bill because they haven't shared it, they haven't filed it yet, in my understanding. So it may cover more than just the age issue. The second is there is resistance to that. I know members that are resistant because they're concerned about, does it cover shotguns or bolt action or some of the other. But I would just say that this is, quite frankly, an issue that many people are opining on kind of for the first time, because as Senator Nelson has pointed out, in this particular case, he happened to be under 21. We've had other cases, and for the most part, in which that's not been the case. And so, you know, the Las Vegas shooting and numerous others. So, you know, we'll see what that legislation proposes. But that one is certainly going to be the topic of a lot of debate. It's going to take a lot longer to do something on that, just simply because of where everyone's lined up on it to begin with, than it would on some of these other proposals. And I just hope that we don't confuse things that have consensus with things that are not meaningful, because they're meaningful. The ability through the Stop School Violence Act, for example, to potentially identify people and stop them through a gun violence restraining order before they act is the ultimate security that you want. Yes, we have TSA at the airport, but we disrupt terrorist plots in this country by finding out who the terrorists are and getting them before they actually even show up at the airport. So we've got to do it all, but this is certainly something that would be preferable, and it's much easier to identify someone who might hurt people and stop them than it is to simply try to prepare for the eventuality that someone's going to show up and do this. You should do it all in all these layers, but that part is meaningful, and just because it's not controversial doesn't mean it's not meaningful.
Real quick about the president's leadership.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my understanding, the president's been pretty clear about the age issue. And so I think that perhaps created space for people in the Florida legislature to be supportive of it. I don't know what the final vote tally is going to be, but I know it was very close in the Senate, and it was going to be probably close in the Florida House. So it, like I said, I don't know what it, I haven't counted votes here, but I know there are people that have some concerns with it. But so I imagine for some people it may have made it easier. But I think on that issue he's been pretty clear on where he stands, and I haven't heard that has changed.
Do you feel the president's will?
Let me pick up here. Please understand that in a mass killing, there is a big difference with the damage that you can do with an assault weapon versus the .22 semi-automatic that I had when I was quite young, including the shotgun that I hunted birds with when I was quite young. That's a whole different category when you get to an assault rifle. And again, I'm sounding like a broken record, but I want to bring you back to the essential point. The essential point is massive killing. And the assault rifle is especially designed for that. The only difference between the military version is that it is automatic and these are semi-automatic. The velocity of an assault weapon like the AR-15, the Sig Sauer MCX used by Mateen in Orlando, the velocity is three times the velocity of a handgun bullet. The energy with which it hits a person is three times the energy. So it does massive damage to flesh and bone and organs that a lesser weapon does not. The trauma surgeons can save somebody with a handgun unless it's hit the heart. They can save somebody. They can't save somebody that's been hit in any kind of organ such as the liver. It pulverizes the liver. So this is a good step, but keep your eye on the prize.
Senator Rubio, you keep talking about starting where there's broad consensus, but so far none of these broad consensus proposals have even gotten votes yet in the Senate either. I'm curious what conversations you've had with the majority leader to start seeing some of these broad consensus measures get debate and votes.
Well, they couldn't have had votes yet because the Stop School Violence Act was filed a day and a half ago. The House is going to move on it next week, so there'll be a House vote, and it'll be teed up hopefully to be able to do over here. This bill hadn't even been filed yet. It'll be filed later today, so it couldn't have had a vote yet. So some of these...
Well, you mentioned Fix-Nicks and others that have been...
Fix-Nicks, Fix-Nicks, we tried to get a vote on it. I mean, there was a hotline on it. You know, they tried to basically pass it through unanimous consent, and two senators have objected to it, not because of anything that's in the bill, but because of changes they want to make in the overall, you know, category of people that are prohibited from buying guns. And that's always the danger in any time you try to pass it through that format. So, you know, the Senate, as you know, is also in the middle of these, you know, confirmations. Now it's on this bill regarding banking. So we are trying to find that space in there where we can do some of these things. And that's why we can take to the leadership a proposal or a package of proposals that enjoy broad bipartisan support. It could potentially be the argument we can make to our respective leaders that let's use this opportunity to vote on these things, that we have common ground so we can begin to make some progress. What I don't want anybody to misunderstand is this is not an effort to say let's vote on this and call it a day. I just think that where we can find common ground, we need to begin to work and get things done, because this is not taxes or some other issue. I mean, even as I speak to you now, the next killer like this could be out there plotting their move. And so it's not like we had the luxury of time to wait in order to take action. I have to go chair a hearing, and I'm already 2 minutes late. You have anything else? Thank you for coming and covering this.
Good. Thank you. Did you have a question?
No.